This is the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast brought to you by Art Wiederman, CPA with Ide Bailey. Whether it's taxes and investing or planning wisely, Art is the expert to make your dental practice profitable. At Ide Bailey, what inspires you inspires us. We provide a suite of accounting and advisory services dedicated to the total care of your practice. Visit our website to access our tools and resources tailored for dentists, idebailey.com/dentist. That's idebailey.com/dentist. This podcast is distributed with the understanding that Art Wiederman, CPA, and Ide Bailey, LLP are not rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Listeners should consult with their business advisors before acting on any of the information or opinions shared. If you have questions and or feedback, make sure to email Art over at awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. You can also give Art a call at 657-279-3243. Without further delay, here's your host, Dental CPA Art Wiederman.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. I'm your host, Art Wiederman. I am a dental division director for the CPA firm of Ide Bailey here in today, beautiful Southern California. And today it's going to be you and I. And I wanted to do this podcast for a while. I want to kind of give you a little update as to where I see the dental profession today, what I think you should be doing. And there was an interesting article I found in Dental Economics that talked about what hygienists and front office and dental assistants and associates are thinking and saying. There was a great survey that was that I'll talk about in a little bit, and what I think it means to your dental practice. And every once in a while, I like to kind of just get on the mic and do this myself, and I never know what's going to come out of my mouth. Usually, it's good stuff, but I hope you'll find this information interesting for you. Before we do that, I want to make a couple of announcements. Number one, thank you again. Almost 7 years now, my wonderful partner, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, 140 continuing education courses, best clinical content on the planet for dentists at a very reasonable price. Go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. If you don't get their magazine, they've got great clinical articles. All, I believe, peer reviewed, and just outstanding, outstanding team and company. Again, www.decisionsindentistry.com. Be sure to join us on Wednesday, November 12th. I believe it'll be 6 p.m., where I and my partner in crime, Don Watson from Ide Bailey, will be doing a year-end tax planning seminar. Webinar, actually, for the Orange County Harbor and San Gabriel Valley Dental Societies. If you would like to be registered for that, send me an email at A Wiederman. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at iBailey, E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. Just call me at 657-279-3243. That number goes right to my computer. So if I don't pick up, if I'm away from my computer, leave me a message with your contact information and we'll make sure you get registered for that. That will be really good. It'll be the fourth of our final business and dentistry webinar series. And we also have a clinical speaker. So there'll be one unit of professional CE that you will be allotted if you attend the 2 hours of the webinar. One thing I do want to point out to everybody, if you haven't heard, the IRS has been talking about getting rid of paper checks forever. They have been talking about it. It costs them over $500 million a year to deal with paper checks, and it could fraud involved. So on March 25th of this year, 2025, President Trump signed Executive Order 14247, which basically mandates a transition to electronic fund transfers for nearly all financial transactions involving the IRS with the goal of improving efficiency, reducing costs, and minimizing fraud. And by September 21st, which is about the time this podcast will be published, the Secretary of the Treasury is required to submit a full implementation report detailing the progress. And you might want to write this down. As of September 30th of 2025 is the scheduled date that the government is going to phase out accepting or paying paper checks. And they want to do it that way to make sure that everybody who is going to be filing their individual income tax returns file them by October 15th if they're on final extension, and they get into the habit of using one of the different methods, for example, IRS direct pay. One of the really good things about the Internal Revenue Service is their website. They have an excellent website, lots of great information, and direct pay is a great way to pay your taxes, talk to your accountant about all of this. October 15th, the recommended deadline for taxpayers to be fully prepared to be doing this. So the executive order is pretty broad. It talks about tax payment, covers tax payments and refunds, fees and fines, and loans and disbursements. There are some exceptions, individuals without access to banking or digital payment services, emergency situations that would create a hardship, national security or law enforcement scenarios where non-electronic transactions are necessary, and other cases at the Treasury Secretary's discretion. Probably not a lot of people are going to fall into this. So what you want to do is talk to your CPA. Our CPA firm, Eide Bailly, we work with almost 1,000 dentists in our offices across the Western United States. We work with about 200 dental practices in our office here in Southern California in Orange County. We are already prepared for our clients. We have a system. They are all being notified that this has to be done. And if you are one of these people who, and I've been in the tax world a couple of days, and there are clients who have said to me, Art, I don't care that they have an electronic system. They are never getting my banking information on their website. I am doing everything by paper. Well, they have your banking information, sending them a check. And if you send in a check and you just continue to not want to do that, I'm guessing somewhere down the road, and they usually give people a little time to get used to all this, but maybe not now. We don't know yet. You are going to end up making a tax payment that will not be accepted, which will mean that it could be late, which could mean that it is subject to penalties and interest. So what I would do, doctors, is check with your CPA. If they don't know what the rules are, give us a call. Again, my direct line is 657-279-3243. We are on top of all of this. So that's something that you need to know. What else do I want to tell you? We talked about the seminar. We're going to be doing a transition seminar on February 28th. It's a long way away. Mark your calendar. If you're in Southern California, we're going to be doing this, again, sponsored by my dear friends at the Harbor, Orange County, and San Gabriel Valley Dental Societies. It's going to be a seminar for a live seminar. It is, we're still working on it. It's looking like it's going to be at Dave and Buster's in the city of Orange. We'll have an array of speakers, myself, dental attorney, consultant, my good friends at Bank of America will be there. We're going to have a whole day, everything you need to know about buying or selling a dental practice. So put that on your calendar. That'll be Saturday, February the 28th. If any of you are going to be at the Chicago Midwinter Dental Meeting, I will be speaking on, I believe it's Friday. I got to look at the date. Friday, February 20th. The last time I spoke in Chicago, it's been a long time because I didn't put myself out to be a speaker while I was raising children and coaching sports and running a CPA practice as much as maybe I should have, but you know what? I got to speak plenty. It was wonderful, wonderful run when I was raising my family. But I got invited to speak there. It was 35 years ago that I spoke there. And it's one of the best dental meetings. They're great, great people at the Chicago Dental Society. And so if you're going to be there, I will be speaking on metrics and financial planning.
Be sure to check out our new Eyed Bailey podcast, Ebb and Flow, a business podcast providing inspired insight on issues and trends the middle market faces. Hear unique business stories, get answers to frequently asked and unasked questions, and understand business topics that matter to you. Available now on your favorite podcast platform.
All right, let's get to the subject today. What's going on in the dental world? I mean, we have, it just seems like every single time I've done this podcast for the last 6.5 years, you know, we have uncertainty. We have question marks. We don't know where the economy is going. And folks, I'll tell you a story about back in 2008 when we had an economic meltdown. And I don't think people realize how close we were to 1929 and a depression. I mean, I had people calling me, asking me, should they take their money out of bank accounts? And I had two doctors came in one day on a Friday for a planning session. And I asked them both, how is their practices doing? They both told me that for that year, 2008, when almost every dental practice was down 10 to 20% or more, because of the economic issues we had with the banking crisis and the loan crisis and all that kind of stuff. They said, we're up 10%, each of them. And they were not sitting there together. And I said, why? And they both pretty much said the same thing to me. They said, Art, it's because we don't watch the news. We don't listen to the, the stuff that they're talking about. We are focusing on our patients and we are focusing on their health and we're focusing on what we can control in our four walls. And I realize that, you know, you watch the news enough, you just see enough bad stuff going on, stuff that may not make you feel good. We've got inflation and we've got tariffs and we've got wars and we got all kinds of things going on. What can I tell you? But here's what I'm seeing. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, overall employment of dentists is projected to grow by about 5% from 2023 to 2025. Each year, that is. It's projected that the country is going to need about 4,900 dentists to be added to the workforce to meet the demand. Now, doctors always tell me when I'm selling practices, well, Art, I only want to be in a metropolitan area. Why do people want to be in metropolitan areas? Because there's a whole lot of stuff going on. There's entertainment, there's people, there's sporting events, there's theater. There's just a lot more to do. But I will tell you, doctors, I have had clients over 41 years who have practiced in towns of 5,000 people, and they make more money than the people in the metropolitan areas. The overhead is lower. They seem to have much more personal relationships with their patients. Not that you don't in Los Angeles or San Jose or Atlanta. That's not the case. But it just seems like my doctors in the non-metropolitan areas, maybe under 100,000 people, just seem to be in towns where they really are. They are the dentist and well-respected and everything like that. Now, why do we need more dentists? Well, we have an aging population. I'm a baby boomer. I turned 66 years old on August the 14th. And, you know, baby boomers need dental services. Now, I take very good care of my teeth because one would think that Art Wiederman, who's been a dental CPA for 41 years, has a pretty high dental IQ, and he does. And, you've got baby boomers. They're going into retirement. We have more dental schools. The number of dentists coming out of dental schools are not keeping up with the demand for dentistry. All right. We have more availability of dental insurance. That's another conversation that we can have that we've had over this podcast as to do you change your relationship with dental insurance? It is more available than ever. There's more emphasis on preventative measures. More people seem to be going to the dentist. The pandemic is in our rearview mirror 4 or 5 years now, and there are still people who haven't gone back. And they go back when they have to, when it starts to hurt. And we all know, even though I'm not a dentist, that dental problems don't get better if you don't take care of them. They get worse. So there might be more access. Technology is incredible. Digital imaging, printing, CAD/CAM, CDCT technology, all the advances in AI impress patients and they get more referrals. If you are not keeping up with technology, doctors, you need to do that because your competitor down the street is doing that. And people walk out of these offices and say, wow, I was able to get my crown made in an hour and 45 minutes in the dental chair. And I got to watch it mill. It's really cool. Just these are all the things that you need to be keeping up. Does it cost money? Sure, it does. But that is what's going to make you differentiated from your competitor down the street. And continuing education is huge, doctors. And I've said this for years, is you should be affiliated with a program. And I will throw out some names like I always do. Coice, Spear, Panky, those are just three off the top of my head. Ross Nash and his wife, my dear friend Deborah Engelhart Nash, in North Carolina. They have a wonderful teaching institute. There's so many great clinicians out there who teach high-end quality dentistry, how to present it, how to do it, all the new techniques and everything. Those doctors that are spending the time doing CE are the ones whose practices are thriving. And the ones that just do the minimum and get on these webinars, they're not. They're just not doing as well. I want to talk about, again, what I think is going to make a difference in dentistry. When a patient goes to you as a dentist, they don't know how good of a dentist you are. They don't know about your margins. They don't know how much you know about occlusion. They don't know what classes you've taken. They don't know how knowledgeable you are about implants or Invisalign or any of these things, sleep dentistry. All they know is that they come to you the same way my dentists, thousands over the years, have come to me. They see me as a CPA. They trust me because I have given them a reason. You doctors need to have a caring and trusting environment. And that needs to be the span of everything that you do with your team, is a caring and trusting environment. If your case presentation is too technical, or it seems like it, you're pushy and you're not creating options and value for the patients, they're going to decline your treatment. And, we talk about statistics. We have a statistic that you can use, from Dental Intel or Dentometrics called a pre-appointment percentage, is that we want to know what percentage of all the active patients in your practice are pre-appointed for a future appointment. And if that isn't in the 80%+ range, you're not reappointing your patients for hygiene. You're not giving your patients good treatment options. They're declining treatment. You're not following up with them. If they don't accept treatment, say, oh, well, let me go home and ask my significant other, or let me go home and think about it. Those are the types of situations that we see where we need to change the culture of the office. In a caring environment where you're letting patients know that everything that you do in your office is about your total health, you're going to be more likely to have a higher treatment acceptance percentage and a higher pre-appointment percentage. So, creating options is important. Not negotiating with a patient in the chair is critical. And it's also creating some urgency that you need to create. And, Mrs. Smith, I'm very concerned about the cracking I see in this tooth. If maybe you lose the tooth. We don't want that to happen. So, again, the next time you go to a dental meeting, and if you're a longtime listener, this might be a little bit of repeat business here. But if you're a long-term listener, when you go down to you go down to Hinman or Yankee or one of those big dental meetings, go to a course on how to talk to your patients. I had mentioned my friend Deborah Engelhardt. Now she is a master at it. So, you know, and the last thing I'll point out is making sure that your team is on board with the type of dentistry you're doing, your treatment philosophy, and just everything that we're doing in the office. Because if you have a team that doubts you, if you have a team who doesn't think that you're a good dentist, I used to ask office managers when I would call the office for whatever reason, hey, Jody, is Dr. Smith a good dentist? And if they would either laugh and say, Art, you know he's the best, or I would hear, yeah, he's okay. And when I heard that, I immediately, and I'm not going to go to Dr. Smith and say, well, by the way, do you know what Jody said about you? But that tells me that his team doesn't have the faith in his skill and the trust in him or her. So it's really important that you make sure that your team trusts you so that when you present a treatment plan and Jody is left in the room and the patient looks at Jody and says, Jody, do I really need all of this work? That with absolutely no hesitation, Jody says, Mrs. Smith, let me tell you something. Let me assure you that our entire dental team has the utmost confidence in our doctor. If he or she says that you need this work, you can take that to the bank. Everything that we do in this office is to make sure that your total health is maintained. And as you know, the teeth and the gums have connections to all other parts of the body, and we can certainly have those conversations. And if you talk to people like that, they're going to come back, they're going to refer their friends. If they feel like they're rushed, if they feel like somebody doesn't care about them, and they're not going to come back, and they're going to tell all their friends not to go. So that's my word of the day on that. I want to touch on an article, and I'm going to quote from Dental Economics that was published in February of 2025. It involved a survey by Dental Post, which is a great organization that does surveys and salary surveys and all these kinds of things. And you know, you're looking for employees. They do that too. They do a lot of things. And a group called Endeavor Business Media. And it was a survey of 3,500 dentists. Now, to get 3,500 dentists to reply to anything is not easy, but apparently they did. So just want to throw some things out. The average full-time income of a general dentist is up 10% from last year. Again, because of the things I'm talking about, because people are working more on their practice. While dental insurance is more available, lots more dentists. The American, and I don't remember if it was 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 dentists per the ADA, are going to change their relationship with insurance in some way, shape, or form. Now, obviously, we're not going to mention names of insurance companies, but when you reduce your dependency on insurance, you are going to find that your income is going to go up. So, average income of a general dentist, 2025, $320,316. That, to me, sounds about right. If you have a practice doing around $1 million and you're netting about 32% in the ballpark, $320,000, doctors, you can put away $50,000 a year in a retirement or more, pay your taxes and have plenty of money to live a nice life and, you know, don't buy a house where you have an $8,000 a month mortgage payment, but have credit card debt. $320,000 puts you in the top, you know, 1% or 2% of earners in the United States. So more dentists exiting insurance, more demand after, you know, 5 years away from COVID and an aging population. The average associate dentist is earning $225,929. Now, a lot of associate dentists want to own practices, but there are others who maybe they're very happy going to work 3-4 days a week, earning whatever they earn, and doing whatever they want to do with their life other than being a wet finger dentist. That is a very good income one can make coming out of dental schools. I know the compensation offered generally is in the $180,000 to $200,000 range. depending on if you go to work for a large group practice or if you go to work for a private practice, associates do very, very well. So in the survey, while 57% of practice owners were satisfied with their compensation, that's pretty good, I think, only 45% of associate dentists were satisfied. There's some jealousy of the owner doctors that they have didn't have the ability to make more. Don't. They should go buy a practice. And if you're listening to this doctor and you're an associate, I would strongly encourage you to make that leap from associate to owner. It is scary. It takes some work. But I'll tell you what, there are professionals, accountants, attorneys, dental consultants, all kinds of professionals that we work with at iBailey who can help you to get ready to be a practice owner. And it comes back to when you meet your new patients, if you show them that you care and you talk to them like they're humans and they become, you know, like it's talking to one of your friends and you're a professional and they trust you. Associates who changed jobs in 2024 gave some of the following reasons. 50% who changed jobs said that they wanted a better work environment. Did I just not say culture? Doctor, senior doctor, create a culture where people are happy to walk in the door at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning. Create a culture where it's okay to make a mistake. People are humans. They're not robots. They can make a mistake. And if they make a mistake, we want our team to learn from it so that hopefully they don't make the same mistake. And we want the team members to be giving out body language and vibes to the patients that make it look like this is a cohesive, hardworking, and very, very happy team, and that we are happy to have our patients here. 50% said they wanted a better, 38% wanted higher pay, 35% wanted better work hours. You know, when I started in accounting in the 1980s at the CPA firm of Deloitte, Haskins & Sells, I mean, it was not unusual for us to get in at 8 in the morning and stay during tax season until 10 or 11 o'clock at night and work weekends. And people would ask me, how many hours did I work that week? I go, I don't know. I just do whatever I need to do to get the job done. It's different today. People are much more interested in their quality of life, especially after going through the COVID-19 pandemic. So be cognizant of what your team wants. You don't have to be their babysitter, but be cognizant of what they want. What does your associate want? If you have an associate that's been there for a long time, okay, talk to that associate. Do they want to be a life associate? Do they want to be an owner? You know, and make the opportunity. And if you promise something, deliver it, doctor. I can't tell you how many doctors I have seen work in a practice 2, 3, 5, some cases 10 years. And the senior doctor just never delivers on the promise of an ownership interest and they leave. And cases, patients go with them. That's another legal conversation we're not going to get into. So, you know, you got a lot of associates working in larger clinics, DSOs, where there might be pressure to produce. I'm not saying that all large clinics and all DSOs are bad. There are many, 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 many practices that are in large groups that are excellent, but there are some that there is pressure to produce, to do more crowns and fillings, to sell bigger cases. You know, in the private practice setting, we might have doctors that are very set in their ways. And, you know, it's my way or the highway, and the associates may not like that. The associate freedom to learn, to do additional procedures. And the senior doctor, you know, I've seen that a lot. They don't move the conversation of partnership, like I was saying. So that's something to keep in mind for you if you have an associate. Let's talk about hygienists. We know that 10 to 12% of dental hygienists have left the profession in the last 12 to 24 months for all kinds of reasons. A couple of them are, you know, fear. A couple of them are just a desire to do something else. confrontation, all these kinds of things. The average dental hygiene compensation in the United States, $81,627. Now, in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Manhattan, Beverly Hills, things, places like that. All right, don't email me, Art. Art, my hygienist makes $120,000 a year. Yeah, I know. I know that. I've seen the numbers. It's a nationwide survey. In 2024, 41% of those hygienists were considering changing jobs. And this dropped to 35% in 2025. That's good news. But still, one out of every three hygienists, according to the survey, were thinking about changing jobs. In 2021, 43% of hygienists were receiving benefits. That has jumped to 92% because doctors realize that if you want to keep someone, you've got to give them, you know, health insurance and educational benefits and all these things. 68% of those hygienists were happy with their benefits. I mean, this is not to say that hygienists are not staying in practices. If they find a practice that they like and they like the doctor and they have the freedom to do what they need to do and they are helping people, hygienists will stay a long, long time. But there are hygienists that are not happy. Okay. In the survey, hygienists mentioned as some of the challenges they faced in practices were the following: difficulties with insurance. How many of you have that? I really want to get this done, but insurance won't pay for it or insurance won't approve it. Blah, 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 blah. Right? Lack of office culture. Rushed appointments. I mean, hygienists, you know, there are some offices where a hygienist has 10 minutes to clean someone's teeth. And we know, I'm not a dentist, I'm not a hygienist, but I know that we need more than 10 minutes and a hygiene appointment, right? And here's the last thing that the survey said, is that they are not feeling valued as a profession, hygiene. So doctors, let me tell you something. Your team is your family. You take care of them. You don't have to coddle them. You don't have to sympathize every single time that they have a problem with their spouse or a problem with their child or a problem with their mom. You don't do that. We empathize. I always used to say to my team, and what I did in accounting, I mean, it's a little different doing financial consulting and tax work than it is in doing dentistry. But I would always say to my team members, what do you want to do that you're not doing right now? You know, now in a dental office, it's kind of limited. A hygienist does what a hygienist does, and a dental assistant does what a dental assistant does. But, you know, who knows? Maybe a dental assistant gets expanded functions certificates and they do other things. And maybe they get involved in the marketing of the practice. So find things for your hygienists to do. So those are the challenges hygienists are talking about. The average dental assistant compensation is $47,400 a year. My good friend Kevin Henry was on the podcast about a month or two ago, and we talked everything and anything about dental assistants. Okay, here's what the survey said. 37% of dental assistants are either dissatisfied or very dissatisfied with their compensation. 53% of dental assistants said it was likely that they were going to look for a new job in next year. So that means, doctor, that if you have two dental assistants in your office, chances are that maybe one of them is looking for another job. Why? Why? So, you know, you look at the salary surveys that are out there. There's a bunch of them. Make sure you're paying a competitive salary. Make sure you have a good culture. Make sure you have benefits. And your people will stay. Dental assistants in the survey were upset with the lack of certification and licensing requirements for dental. Factor, what's going on with the states and everything like that. So what I'm saying is listen to your team members. Listen to your assistants. Do not. I have heard dentists say, not very often, but I've heard, oh my God, that's all they do. You know, they're not the most important team. I can find another dental assistant in no time. and this one is not doing what I need him to do. Well, you're not creating a great environment for them, Doc. Let's talk about the dental practice manager. The average compensation for a dental practice manager, $36.03 an hour, full-time salary of about $71,200. Only 43% of practice managers are satisfied with their compensation. That's down from 49% in 2023 and 58% in 2024, which again means that dentists are stepping up to the plate and paying people more because they have to, because things cost more. And that is another reason, doctor, that if 90% of your patients are contracted with insurance plans and the insurance plans are discounted an average of about 40%, and you can't raise your fees, but your costs go up, what does that mean? You got to get on the treadmill. You got to work harder. You got to work faster. You can't spend as much time with your patients. That is so important. Okay. For practice managers, like I say, the most common reason for changing jobs in this order was career advancement, better location, better work environment. Higher pay was fourth, which is interesting. So people who are practice managers, they want career advancement. Now, that's kind of hard if you have a single dental office and the office manager is the office manager. That's the job. I can't promote the office manager to dentist. I wish I could, but there's a little bit of schooling and credentialing we need to do that. Better location, can't really change the location of my practice. So what this means is for you to know this information and to be talking to your team members. Sit down once a quarter, go out to lunch with them, sit in your office, whatever you're going to do. How's it going? What are the challenges you're seeing? Because they're in there in the trenches, seeing what's going on. Your office managers are fighting with the insurance companies. They're talking to the patients, trying to educate the patients about what their benefits are or what they aren't. They're listening to everybody's issues and everybody's problems. So it's not the easiest job in the world. And again, catch somebody doing something right as opposed to doing something wrong. Office managers also noted challenges of working with insurance and difficult patients. Now, you know, when you deal with the public, you have to deal with difficult people. There's no getting around it. There just isn't. And what you have to remember is that the vast majority of your patients are wonderful humans and they are happy to see you and you're happy to help them. And you also have to remember, doctors, that people who are difficult patients, it's not because of you for the most part. They have difficulties in their lives. They might have a bad marriage. They might have problems with their kids. They might have money problems. They might be in debt. They might have health problems, all these things. And some people just tend to take them out on other people because it's easy. You're not going to get into a big argument with them. If they start railing on you about their problems or are difficult, you're going to do the best you can to handle it. But that is what office managers are dealing with and dealing with the insurance companies. It's just, it's tough. That's all I've got to say, which is another reason to contemplate your relationship with insurance. One respondent said, quote, patients have become way more difficult. The constant undercurrent of anxiety and stress makes interacting difficult as patients and patients are more likely to get upset about things that they didn't get upset pre-2020. Think about it. All right. Some people lost their savings. They lost their jobs. They went on unemployment. They went on, government programs. So it is more difficult. Life is more difficult. Inflation is higher. I mean, I was in the market the other day and I was looking at certain different items. I was looking at some fish and I was looking at marinara sauce, and I was looking at rice. Everything is more expensive. It's just the way it is. and people are looking at it. And they look at dentistry as optional. And that is why it is so important that you tie the total health of your patient in with everything that you're doing. Mrs. Smith, you've seen surveys about the link between periodontal disease and heart disease and liver disease and everything else that's going on. So it's really important that we probe your teeth, once a year. And we make sure that if there are more than four millimeter pockets in there, that we have a conversation about scaling and root planing, SRPs, and what do they do? And this is why we do it, because of the links. And we don't want you to end up at the cardiologist. So it's all of these things. And doctor, I'm going to put a bow on this podcast right now. And it's about your leadership. And what it means is you need to be a leader. Now, being a leader doesn't mean that you have to read every leadership book out there. What it means is that you sit down with your team and you talk about, how are we going to market the practice? How are we, how is the patient experience from the minute they walk in the door to the minute they walk out the door? What is it looking like as far as insurance goes? How's case presentation? I learned as a business owner that if I ask for my team's help, they'll give it to me. And we had people in the practice, and I set the culture. The culture is buck stops with me. If I am doing something that is holding us back, I need you to tell me. And I need you to be not afraid that there's going to be any ramifications of you telling me. Now, you can't tell me that I'm an idiot. You can't tell me in a generalizing fashion that I'm a bad dentist or all this stuff, okay? What you can tell me is, hey, doctor, let's have a conversation. Maybe we bring someone in to talk about your case presentation. We've been talking about it, and we're thinking that maybe you're a little too technical. I mean, if I were to get in there and talk to my client, all right, so how's my tax going? All right, well, here's the deal. Your Section 199A deduction is going to be $37,243, but we have to get your modified adjusted gross income. If I said that to my clients, I mean, their heads would explode. And if you start talking about all the technical aspects of what you do, how you do it, patient doesn't want to hear it. Patient wants to know, how can they be healthy? How can they get out of pain? How can they avoid problems? How can they have a really good-looking smile? You know, and I go back to, what my friend Dr. Paul Homily used to say is, find out what's going on in that patient's life. Does that patient have a wedding coming up for a child? Does that patient, do they have a new relationship that they're getting into? So they want to look better. What do they have going on? And then we talk about it. We say, Mrs. Smith, you know, we got that wedding coming up and I really want you to look beautiful for that wedding. So let's take a look at some of this work that we're going to do. Veneers. Let's look at some cosmetic dentistry. Whatever it is that's going to get their attention says, oh my gosh, that doctor knows me. They know what's going on in my life and they want to help me. And again, I tell young doctors when we sell practices, I give them the following advice. And I've probably said this on the podcast, is everything that you do in your practice, regardless of whether it's going to make you money, must be in the patient's best interest and to improve the patient's total health. Again, whether or you're not, you're going to get paid for it. And that means that if a patient doesn't need a crown, even though it might be on a fee-for-service basis, $1,500 in your pocket with an 80% profit, then don't do the crown. Make sure that that patient knows that we are doing everything necessary to maintain their total health. And if they got a healthy mouth, they got a healthy mouth. Well, that's my story for today, folks. Create a great culture in your practice. Be good to your employees. You're going to be good to your patients. Be good to your employees. Make sure that they are happy getting in the car or getting on the bus or the train to come to work every day, to come into your office. Hire happy people. Oh my gosh. You know, hire people who are enjoying their lives. Hire people who care about other people. Hire people who take care of other people. And, you know, that's a whole, I mean, my good friend Holly Perez at Direct Dental can talk to you about what to look for in an employee. I mean, it's just, I was so fortunate in my CPA practice. I had Pam Chamberlain, Raquel Goyette, Debbie Sanders, Mary Power, Judy Tuala, my five rocks of my CPA practice, who worked for me for cumulatively about 120 years. You know, the reason they worked for me that long is not because I was a pushover and not because they could do whatever they wanted. They knew what had to get done. They got it done. But I treated them with respect and I cared about them. Again, I didn't run their lives. I didn't interfere in their lives. They had an issue in the middle of tax season. One of the team members had a family member that was ill overseas and they had to tend to it. And she was afraid to come to me. So one of the senior people on the team came and said, she's afraid. And I said, she came in and I said, what's going on? And she started crying. And I said, what do you need? I need to go back to wherever it was overseas for probably 2 weeks. I don't know if he's going to make it. I said, okay, let's have an impromptu staff meeting. Hey guys, it's March 17th. Our team member here has an issue. I'm always the last to know, but you know this, right? Everybody nod their heads. I said, how are we going to get this done? And I got a big hug. And that creates respect. Now, you can't, it's got to be something, you know, catastrophic, but you've got to remember the people have lives. All right, folks, with that, I want to thank my wonderful team members at Decisions in Dentistry, www.decisionsindentistry.com. 140 continuing education courses at a very, very reasonable price. Go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. If you're looking for a dental CPA, we've got you covered at Ide Bailey. Give me a call, 657-279-3243. A. Wiederman, A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at idebailey.com. If you are not getting good service from your CPA, if you call them and they don't return your phone calls, you're not getting really good advice about how to meet your personal and business financial goals. They don't know what your hygiene percentage should be. They don't know what a reappointment or a pre-appointment percentage should be. If they don't know these things, give us a call. We can help you because we understand your business. We understand your challenges. We understand that what you do is a valued service to humans. And all the dentists that I've known are just some of the finest people I have ever met. Just this morning, I got a call from one of our long-term clients. He started with me in 1984, probably a month or two after I took over the financial services of the Pride Institute. Financial services divisions. And he says, you know what, Art, I'm turning 80 in October. And I just want to thank you for always being there for me. And for, you know, I had a question. You were there for me. Your team was there for me. And I'll tell you what, that makes this whole journey that I've been through 41 years, just incredibly worthwhile. And very excited about the future for the dental profession. I am working on my golf game. you won't see me at the Tour Championship next year. I don't think I'm going to get there. But I'm hoping to get the handicap down into single digits before I die. I'm working on that. We'll see what happens. Well, folks, I'd love to talk with you a lot more, but you got other things you got to do, like work on your practice. So with that, this is Art Wiederman, CPA for the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sticking with me for almost 7 years. And we're going to keep delivering some great, great content for you. through the end of 2025, and we got some great things planned for 2026. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. The Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast is produced by Ide Bailey in partnership with Art Wiederman, CPA, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, and the Academy of Dental CPAs. For audience questions and feedback, email Art Wiederman, awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. Or you may call Art at 657-279-3243.